Preston Hills Church. We join you. We invite you to join us to worship. When darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, I won't be shaken, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance. Just a little while. As we continue in worship this morning and get to sing more songs and hear God's word unpacked, we know as a church that God's likely going to nudge us to respond in certain ways. And so as a church, we like to give you some tangible ways, some steps to take as you listen to that nudging. And so first off, if you're a guest with us this morning, we first want to say thank you for joining us for worship. But we also want to connect with you. We want to know that you are here, get to know you a little bit. And so in your seats, there are some connection cards cards, little blue cards. You can fill those out, jot down your name, how you found out about us, what your interest is, and then you can drop them in the kiosk at the back of the room, or you can walk down to the lobby, hand them to a volunteer down there, and receive a gift and some coffee. And so if that's a if you're a guest, welcome. If you're a regular, these kiosks are also where you can drop your tithes, your offerings. If you're online, you can hop over. Should be popping up in the comments. And then lastly, this is also these connection cards, is how you can give us prayer requests. We want to pray for you, connect with you, help you find your way into connect groups. Whatever it is that you need to do to take that next step in your faith, we want to help you in that. And so this morning, for our missions moment, we've got a video for Upward Soccer. And so we'll check this out. And then we have a special guest this morning. So stay tuned. This morning for our missions moment, I want to take us back to the series that we actually just wrapped up a couple weeks ago, the generosity series, How to Be Generous. Through this series, we were challenged with what it looks like to be generous in the same way that Jesus was generous and that he calls us to be. And we as a church at Western Hills, we have a long-standing tradition of being a church that is generous in just that way with our ministry partners and here in our local community. And this summer alone, we have a number of opportunities for us to continue exercising that generosity. One specific way is our upcoming Upward Soccer season. So last year, we had close to 200 kiddos come out and play the sport of soccer, but also hear about Jesus. And if you're unfamiliar with what Upward Sports is, simply put, it's a ministry that seeks to use the medium of sports, like soccer, to share the love and the person of Jesus and the truth of the Bible. Over the years, Western Hills has done this and had a huge turnout and a huge impact for it. Some of you are even Western Hills families because of the Upward program. And so this year, we are gearing up for the soccer season. Registration for the season is open as we speak and will remain open until right at the end of August, the beginning of September. Our evaluations will be right towards the end of July. Practices will start mid to late August, and then the season will kick off in full early September. If you have a kiddo who would like to be a part of our season this year, to learn the game of soccer, but also to hear about Jesus and learn who Jesus is, we would love for you to hop over to this link in this graphic right here. This graphic will be up on our social media and our pre-service slides throughout the next few weeks as a reminder, but you can go to this link, register your kiddo, and that will reserve their spot in our season. And then here, as we approach this season, we'll plug them into a team and get ready for some fun this fall. This program is entirely volunteer run. And so we are so appreciative of anybody who turns out to help us. And so if you are interested, if God maybe is nudging you to get plugged in some way in the Upward program, come find us. Myself, Aaron Bivens, who's our soccer director, we would love to help you get plugged in. A simple way for you to make that step is right there in your seat this morning or online. There's a connection card, and you can fill it out, jot down your name, whether you're new to the program or a regular here at Western Hills Church. Jot your name down, and then just note that you're interested in being a part of the Upward program. So we're excited to be kicking off this soccer season. We just hope that you're already praying for what God is going to do through this upcoming season in the lives of these kiddos and the families that come out. Thank you for joining us for worship this morning. This morning we have a special treat. We actually get to enjoy a guest speaker by the name of T.D. Hicks, a man who, especially around here, probably doesn't need much of an introduction. He's been around here before, but he is here to kick off our first verse of Psalm 23 by unpacking what it means that God is the shepherd. And so pay attention, plug in, and listen for what God has to say through this story.
Good morning. Let's give God a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. We're here this morning to stand in the gap for Grant. I shared with him, I said, I think I'm going to switch denominations and come out here with you guys. I mean, the guy gets to take off all of June and July. I mean, I could be youth pastor out here or something. I don't know. I could learn to like this kind of church. Amen. So we're grateful for just another opportunity. It's always good to be home. I call this my West location. I get excited about always coming out here to Western Hills, and people always try to figure out the relationships. I'll see some people at Walmart or in the store, and people will come up to me and they'll say, "Hey, how you doing?" and all this other stuff, and they're always trying to figure out, how does this big black guy know all these white people? And I say, that's just my Western Hills family. So we're just grateful to God for this opportunity, this chance to be here and just to share with each and every one of you. You guys are probably looking, oh man, his wife really took it to him. I had a rotator cuff surgery, and I was so I'm on the downside of that, and so I still have to keep my brace on. My doctor told me that I have to wear my brace for people, not for me. I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "You have to wear your brace for people, not for me." He said, "You really don't need your brace, TD." And I said, "So why am I wearing it?" He says, you're wearing it so that you could protect yourself from people, so people can know how to deal with you. And sometimes that's how life does us. That's a preachable moment right there in the doctor's office. That's how life does us, that we have to protect ourselves from some people that we're around in our life. And so right there in my doctor's office, when he was telling me that, I was pulling out my pen and my paper, and I was coming up with another series to preach about the God of the brace, or something like that. Do me this favor. This is a personal favor. Those that are able to stand, can you just stand? Can you just stand? And can you just make as much noise as you can? Just let's give God praise. Say, preach, preacher, preach, preacher, preach.
Preach, preacher, preach, preacher.
All right. That's what I'm talking about. There you go. All right, now take your seats. Did you record that? All right. Now I want you to show that to Grant, that I had his church standing on their feet saying, "Preach," because he says you guys don't make noise. But I was like, "Hey, Grant, they made noise for me. I don't know what the problem was for you, but they made it for me. So now I have witnessed that. That's what you guys have done. And so we're thankful for that. Well, let's get ready to get into our word on this morning. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity, this chance to come and just to share with these your people, this opportunity just to just get into your word and to just take a different look and approach at your word on this morning. It's our prayer, God, that you would open up our hearts and our minds, that we would be receptive to the things that you're going to share and the things that you're going to show in this place. And we just give your name the praise and the glory. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I hate to overlook it. I don't want to make it seem like I overlooked it, but happy Father's Day to all the fathers that are here. Ladies, can you celebrate our men that are fathers that are here? I was listening to some comedian this week, and he said Father's Day, out of all the holidays, ranks like number 20. you could see the big difference. You walk into the stores around Mother's Day, it's Mother's Day balloons flying all over the place and stuff like that. But your Father's Day, you do hard to find a card during Father's Day. But I want to just take the time to celebrate the men that have stayed faithful, the men that have stepped into the gap, the men that have been surrogate fathers, the men that have just been long distance fathers, the men that might not have started off as great fathers, but they're picking up the pace and they're doing things. Hey, we celebrate you today and we say thank you and we say happy Father's Day to each and every one of you. Well, my assignment is simple. My assignment is simple. I am responsible for the first verse of Psalm 23. It's a very familiar psalm. We have read it and we've probably seen it plenty of places, but I'm responsible this morning for the first verse of this particular psalm. And so let's take a moment and look at Psalm 23. And then wouldn't you know it, it goes blank when I get ready to pull it up. It's going to be one of them days. All right. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they are a comfort to me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David is the author of that particular psalm. And it's our task and our responsibility this morning to look at the first verse of Psalm 23. As we begin this series of messages, this series of studies that you'll be looking at over the next couple of weeks. And our verse is, "The Lord is my shepherd. I will lack nothing. I shall not want. I'll lack nothing." I can remember it just like it was yesterday. Denver, Colorado, 195 South Monaco Parkway. The church was Mount Gilead Missionary Baptist Church. You had to say missionary. Grandma would get mad because it wasn't, you had to say missionary. We were a missionary Baptist church. Mount Gilead Missionary Baptist Church, 195 South Monaco Parkway. Dr. Asen L. Phillips was the senior pastor, and I was a part of the kindergarten preschool class where my teacher was Mrs. Vivian Ballany, who happened to be my godmother. Miss Ballany was my teacher, and she would teach us every Sunday morning Sunday school at 9:30. We'd be in that room, and we would be learning all of the things about the Lord in that class. Well, one particular class that I can remember is that she would always close out the class by asking the question, "What has your shepherd done for you?" She would say, "What has your shepherd done for you?" And we would answer the question and do different things like that and begin to just talk about our relationship between the shepherd. As sheep and shepherd, we would talk about it. And I would come up with deep stuff. I would say, "My shepherd helped me ride my bike this week." They say, and somebody else might say, my shepherd helped me find my toys. Someone else would say, my shepherd helped me get out of trouble at home. My shepherd helped me clean up my room. And she would say, what have you done for your shepherd? And it always used to be quiet on that point. Because we'd always look for the shepherd to do something for the sheep. We would always have that kind of relationship. So then we would spend time in asking that question, and then it hit me as I was preparing for this that question could still be asked today. What has your shepherd done for you? What have you done for your shepherd? How is your relationship with you and your shepherd? Are you a wayward sheep? Are you an obedient sheep? Are you a sheep that lives on the edge? Are you one that always has to be brought back into the fold? What kind of sheep are you? What is your relationship between you and your shepherd? Can you declare like David does here in this Psalm 23, where he opens it up without reservation, without being afraid, without it holding anything back, and just declares that the Lord is my shepherd? So as you begin to think about those things and you begin to realize that, you can see throughout the Hebrew text that we can discover that there's always a relationship between the shepherd and his sheep. There's instances where Jehovah Jireh or Jehovah God is referred to as the good shepherd. There's another instance where he's referred to as the great shepherd. Over in Hebrews, he's referred to as the great shepherd. But here in Psalm number 23, as we begin to kick off this particular series, this study, he's referred to as the shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. What does that mean? He is a friend when I'm friendless. He is a mother when I'm motherless. He's a father to the fatherless on Father's Day. He fills all the voids in our life. So this morning I asked the question, what does your shepherd mean to you? The first thing we want to take a look at this morning is this, is that in order for us to have this particular understanding and to get a better understanding of Psalm 23, verse number 1, one has to understand the roles that is played by each and every character within this verse. As we look at this particular verse, we find that it opens up by saying, the Lord is the shepherd. Now notice, it does not suggest that he might carry the position of shepherd. It says that he is. And for some of us in our life, we got to understand, that's not a choice. That if you have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, listen, you're stuck with it. He is your shepherd. You can't pick and choose who you want to play the role as the shepherd in your life. I know there's some times in your life when you say, hey, Lord, I got this part over here. You go chill out over there. I got this part. I'll make a couple of decisions on my own over here. I'm a big boy. I can handle that. I can put you in cruise control right now, and I'll take the shepherd role. But if we're going to truly be Christ followers and we're going to truly do what it is that God would have for us to do, we have to surrender our will and our way to God and surrender the fact that, hey, he is the shepherd. And it's the responsibility of the shepherd to lead the sheep. Not the sheep leading the shepherd, but the shepherd leading the sheep. It's important for us to understand that we are to allow the Lord to lead us in every big decision and in even every small decision. The shepherd's responsibility is to supply the needs of the sheep. What does he supply? He supplies food. He supplies rest. He supplies water. And Jesus supplies everything that we need in our life. So then it's the role of the sheep to surrender our will and our way to the shepherd. It's kind of like this. I was watching the TV the other day, and there was a show on by entitled, it was Cops. It's called, anybody seen that police show, Cops? Yeah. I always get fascinated by that, because when they're chasing a crook around town, and they're trying to catch up with somebody that may have robbed or stole something, they're chasing them around town, and then they always get to this place where there's a standoff, and they say to them, hey, you're surrounded, come up with your hands up, you know, he's surrendered, do this. And it always amazes me how it could be 50 police out there and one guy, and he'll still want to put up a fight. You know, you would think you would get to that place where, you know, say, hey, 50 to 1, I think I might have lost this one. But it gave me a picture of what we look like when it comes down to some of the areas of our life where God is asking us to surrender it to us. How we fight back against God, how we want to hold on to certain things. When God is saying to you, give me your marriage. I want to put it together. Give me that thing that has been frustrating you, or give me your children that you're worried about. Give me that job that you feel like you're not making any progress on. Give me that area of your life that you think that cannot get any better. Hey, surrender it to me right now. Give it to your shepherd. And we sit back just like we're on that TV show Cops, and we're hiding behind fences. We're sitting in the room while we're surrounded. He's saying, hey, come out with your hands up. I got you. And you're saying, nah, I'll try to figure out this marriage on my own. Nah, I'll put my family back together on my own. And he said, all I want for you to do, little sheep, is surrender your will and your way to the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd.
Amen.
David recognized that, and that picture of the shepherd's responsibility to the sheep. And many of us in our lives, we would get further, we would go further, we'd be able to receive things a little more if we would learn to surrender our will and our way to God. Sometimes we are some stubborn people. You know, I feel like I'm in the AA room sometimes. Hi, my name is Tracy, and I'm stubborn. There's just some times when I know I should be letting it go, but oh, baby, I'm gonna drive it till the wheels fall off.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna hold on to it. I'm gonna prove that I'm right. That's just like me. I was talking to the young lady before service, and I was telling her, said, yeah, I probably should have had this surgery. I had the injury back in December, but I probably should have had the surgery on my rotator cuff back then. But because I was stubborn and had to prove the point that I could heal without surgery, I was going to show that doctor, hey, I was going to work this thing out. I was lifting, working out at Washburn, doing all the stuff. And he said, boy, is it healing, doc? Yeah, it's getting further and further apart. Looks good, TD, keep it up. But there comes a point in time when you have to come up with your hands up. Let me ask you, what part of your life do you need to surrender to your shepherd? What area of your life do you need to surrender to your shepherd? There might be some areas that you have already surrendered, but there might be some that you, hey, you got locked down under key, double key, eye scanner, breathalyzer to get into that thing. God is saying, give me that because I am the shepherd.
Amen.
Remember, what we need is not always what we want. What we need is not always what we want. The second thing you need to see is please let the shepherd be the shepherd. Let him be the shepherd. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In that verse, he's literally saying, listen, let God be God in your life. Look at Isaiah 40, Isaiah 40, verse number 11. Isaiah 40, verse number 11. It says this. In Isaiah 40, verse number 11, it says this. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. We're talking about the shepherd here. And so then if the shepherd loves us enough to do just that, we ought to allow God to be God in our lives. Let God be God. Listen, you can't figure it out on your own. Listen, there's certain things that the shepherd is supposed to do for us. Right here, right, David lets us know here, and I promise you, I'm trying my hardest to stay in verse number one. I was like, man, this is torture. Because I really, really promise you, there's some good preaching in 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. That verse number one is good, is great, but I'm like, ooh, I could tell him about this one. Listen, listen. He says, listen, he says, I want to be your shepherd, but I want you to know, I want to be a personal shepherd to you. I want to be a personal shepherd to you. I want to know what you need as the sheep. Watch this. I could have 100 sheep, but all of us need different things. If I was to ask you this morning, how many of you like coffee? Some of you say, yeah, I like my coffee black. I like my coffee sweet. I like my coffee with cream. I like my coffee this way. My daughter likes caramel and coffee. She goes to Starbucks and she gets something and she'll say 7 pumps of this and 8 pumps of that and all these pumps. And I say, is there any coffee in here? The reality is this, is that God says, I want to be your shepherd, but I want to be a personal shepherd to you. Isn't it great that the God of the universe, the one who, like my grandpa would say, who hung the moon in the sky, who hung the stars up in the sky, the one who reached back and grabbed a hold of nothing and brought nothing back from nowhere and put something up on somewhere and called it good and did all this. Boy, my grandpa could paint a picture of how God created the earth. Boy, you'd be like, ooh, he did all that. Yeah, he did all that. God, the one that has done all of that, wants to know you personally. He wants to be your personal shepherd. So we have all these sheep in the room, different sizes, different colors, different feelings, different emotions, different struggles going on in our life. And God is saying to us this morning, he said, listen, I want to make this thing personal. Not only does he want to make it personal, but then watch this. The shepherd will position you where you need to be. That's good news for somebody. I'm going to jump into it, but then I'm going to jump right out of it. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me. Woo-hoo, that's good preaching. Beside the still waters. He puts me where I need to be. And some of us fight it. Oh, can I tell you, I fought it. God, why would you place me in Kansas with all of these Chief fans?
Amen.
Don't you know that's cruel? And they won the Super Bowl too? But he positions you where you need to be. And sometimes you'll be placed places in your life where you might not like it, but he's growing you. You might be saying, man, I see better across the street. I see better over there, but God is saying, listen, if you just hold tight right here, if you just allow me to work on you, if you just allow me to bring it out of you, I promise you that what's going on right now will be better down the line. Has that ever happened to anybody? Have you just felt like you wanted to walk away and throw in the towel and say, not today, baby. I'm not doing that. I'm not putting up with that. But all of a sudden, when you hung in there, you remained faithful, you didn't give up, God rewarded you. Listen, I'm saying to that couple this morning, hey, hold on. Hold on. Don't throw in the towel. He might leave the cap off the toothpaste now. I mean, he might leave his shoes in the front room. She might burn the toast now. The rice might be a little crunchy. But somewhere down the line, it's going to change. I was talking to a couple just this morning. Ben, I was talking to a couple this morning. They said that they've been married 60 years. 60 years. Where they at? Back in the back. 60 years. Somebody needs to take them to lunch and get all the notes and write a book about how to stay married. Come on, you guys. 60 years. He's personal, but then he positions you. But then watch this. He's also a protector. Come on, let's think about it. We're here by grace. We're here because our shepherd protected us. Not that we haven't experienced any difficulties, but we're here because we made it through some storms. We survived COVID. Some of us know individuals that didn't make it. Some of us know people that did not survive. But God saw fit, for whatever reason, to allow you to be here. Listen, you're here for a reason. The Lord, your shepherd, says you're going to be one of the sheep to make it through. Not just to sit back and to act like you've made it and you're all of that. Oh, look at me, I made it. No, you made it for a reason. God has a special anointing over your life. Listen, he protected you for a reason. What was that? Don't waste God's good protection. He protects us. He positions us. But then he prepares us. He gently leads those that are young. He gently leads us. He sees that there are direction and places that we need to go, and he starts preparing us to be able to embrace and take care of the things that we need to take care of down the line. So I know God to be a position, a person that puts me in position, a protector, a preparer. But then I know him also to be that provider. Big Mama would say it this way, and Big Mama, Grandma would say, he's my provider. He runs me a sale when I don't expect it. The Lord ever run anybody a sale? Oh, y'all don't look for sales? I mean, he runs you a sale, when, especially how high groceries are now. Come on, ladies. I went the other day. I said, well, you know, I'll throw some meat on the grill. So I, you know, want to get some of them brownie points, them husband points. You know how it is. You're sitting at the house and say, ooh, I could get a little husband points. Yeah. Arm hurt too, and I cooked. Woo-hoo. It's gonna be a good night. Go to sleep early, kids. It's time to go to bed. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen, I can go run to the store and get something. It's been a while since I've been to the store. And I went into the store and I was looking around. I was like, oh my God. Is this the same meat? Or is this made of gold? Yeah. This was costing $10 last year. Now it's 20-something dollars. Is this the same thing? I mean, it was that. And then it's just like my Big Mama snuck up on me. I looked at the manager special, and the Lord done ran me a sale. That's what my Big Mama say. She said, boy, the Lord done ran me a sale. He ran me a sale. I had a nice slab, clean cut of meat. I said, oh, they must have mismarked this one. Put it in the cart. Wife came home. She said, boy, you cooked. I said, yeah, I did. Lastly is this. Because the Lord is our shepherd, he has all of our needs covered. David says it this way, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now don't get it twisted. Don't confuse your needs with wants. There's some things in our life that we say, hey, I really need that. I mean, but that's a want, that's a desire. God says, I'm going to meet all of your needs. Look at this. Psalm 34, verse 9 and 10 says this. Just highlight this in your phone or in your Bibles. Look at it when you get home. Psalm 34, verse 9 and 10 says this. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear have no lack. For those who fear have no lack. The young lion suffers want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. It literally says, listen, the lion's gonna be wanting something. Those who may seem like they have it all together are going to be in a position one day when they're sitting back needing something from God. But because you remain faithful and you keep the course, you stay steady, God says, I got you. I'll supply all of your needs. I'll meet you in the middle of a crisis, and I'll make a dollar do things that $20 can do. I'll restore your joy. I'll replenish your hope. I'll let you see that there's a brighter day down the line when everybody is walking away. He says, listen, I'm going to make sure you lack no good thing. That's what your shepherd has promised you. In Matthew 6 and 33 is one that we should know as Christ followers, but there might be some here this morning that have not experienced this or have seen this. It says, but when I seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto me. When I place God first in my life, in every big decision, in every small decision, I gotta learn to keep God first. I got to learn to ask God, God, do I turn right or do I turn left? I wish I would have asked him that the other day when I turned on 6th. Because every place on 6th was shut down. You got to start, you know, God, which way do I go? What do you want me to do? There might be a reason why God is telling you to slow down. There might be a reason why God is telling you to go right. You never know. Then Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. What my shepherd means to me only can be identified and only be shared and shown on a personal level. What he means to you might be something different than what he means to me. The story is told of an old man and a distinguished actor who was in a classroom setting full of actors, potential actors. And on this particular day, their responsibility was to come and to share a particular verse out of the Bible. So the actor who was the distinguished actor chose Psalm 23, and he jumped up and he got up there and he began to just say it. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I mean, he put on a show. I mean, people were like, bravo, bravo, bravo. But then they asked the old man to come up and to share Psalm 23. And the old man stood up and said, you know, I've found the Lord to be my shepherd. Haven't always had what I wanted, but I've always had what I needed. Amen. I've been walking through some valleys in my life that I thought was going to overtake me. But you know what? I didn't fear no evil. Because I knew he was always with me. His old rod and staff, that was a comfort to me. There's some times that I had to go without, but he always kept that table prepared before me in the presence of my enemy. And this man went on, and he got down to that part where he says, surely goodness and mercy, they're going to follow me all the days of my life. And when that old man finished saying that 23rd song, there wasn't a dry eye in the place. People stood up clapping and just applauding. And the man that went before him, he was amazed. He says, I see it. He says, I was talking about what I knew of about the Psalms. I was talking about how I knew of the Psalms. But he was talking about the shepherd in the song. And I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but I need to let you know that God will be your shepherd. He'll supply all your needs. He'll reach you right where you are. All you got to do is just surrender your will and your way to the shepherd. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify you, we glorify you for who you are and for what it is that you've done for us in our life. And we thank you today afresh, God, for just being able to come along and just get to know and to get to revisit this relationship with our shepherd. Lord, we ask and pray now that you would open up our hearts and our minds and just prepare us as we continue this series that we might get to know you better as our shepherd. And because we know you better as our shepherd, we'll become better sheep. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
mighty river flowing upwards from a deep but empty grave. I will praise you on the mountain. I will praise you in the mountains in my way. You're the summit where my feet are. So I praise you in the valleys all the same. No less God within the shadows. No less faithful when the night leads me astray. You're the heaven where my heart is. In the highlands and the heartache all the same. Thank you. We've got one more song left to sing, but as we conclude this morning, I just wanted to remind you of what TD talked about, of just surrendering to our Good Shepherd, right? And so now we get to sing a song about how he transforms us, right? He turns graves into gardens, and bones into armies, and then sends us out to follow him into the world. And so as we sing this song, I just ask you to sing with all your heart. The world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise, treasures that fade, are never enough. And you came along and put me back together.
Just want to see if you were listening. Can you sit down for just a second? So this morning, I want to point out this cute little blue card. And if you're new to Western Hills or it's your first time, would you fill this card out for us so we can have a record of your visit? Because we just don't want anybody to fall through the cracks. So for real, I'm not the drummer at Western Hills, but that would be so cool to be like Nick. I'm actually the kids minister, also cool. The drummer, that would be even too much transformation for the good shepherd, like, right, Pastor TD? But we're just glad you're here, and we want you to fill out the card if you're new or if you haven't been here in a while or if you have a need. And I notice on here is kind of like multiple choice, so you can pick on here anything you want to tell the staff. I also noticed that firing the kids minister is not one of the choices, so I feel good about that. Also wanted to mention that this week I'm going to shop for my school supplies for the school supply drive. And in case there's anybody else like me that kind of waits to the last minute, we still have till July 6th, July 3rd. I still have time. So just in case anybody else needs that reminder, get those school supplies here from McCarter. And I want to say happy Father's Day to all the dads. A special happy Father's Day to our student and serve all pastor on his very first Father's Day. You are a blessing to us all, sir. And speaking of the blessing, will you stand? And let's go out with the blessing that we say over each other. In Christ, you go nowhere alone. Wherever you go, God is there. Wherever you are, God can work through you. He gives purpose to your being here. Christ, who dwells in you, has something to do through you where you are. Believe this and go in his grace, love, and power. Go be the church.